The centering words for today are in the scriptures found in the Bible. You will find commandments of old and must be new lessons for enigmatic parables. But there is older scripture, a scripture beyond words, a scripture as deep and mysterious as night sky. For the heavens proclaim God's glory with every colorful sunrise, budding flower. And now we'll enjoy the bell ringers, Wesley bell ringers.
Thank you.
Thank you very much. That doesn't come easy. You go through practice to come up with such magic ringing. Thank you. Yeah, for those who can stand, please stand for the call to worship. Christ the cornerstone welcomes us to this house of God. May our minds receive God's word, even as our hearts receive God's love. May God's Spirit bless us with wisdom and faith. Now the opening prayer. Holy Spirit, Heavenly God, shine upon us with the wisdom of ancient words. Enlighten our minds that we may perceive your presence. Strengthen our resolve that we may press towards growth in love and faith. Help us grow closer to your likeness each and every day. Amen. And today's song is One Church's Foundation. You can find the words and the music on 545, or you may follow the words up on the screens.
Amen. May it be so. You may be seated. Would you join me in prayer? Gracious and loving God, we give you thanks that you have blessed us, that you love us, that you continue to wrap your grace and your mercy around us, that we might not be alone, that we might not be forgotten, but that you are with us, strengthening us and protecting us and guiding us through our lives. God, we pray for those who are in the hospitals, who are at home recovering, who are ill and fighting illness. God, we pray for those with cancer. We pray for those with things that are still trying to be discerned. God, give them strength. Give them healing. Give them peace. Give wisdom and Give wisdom and expertise to the doctors and the nurses. Give patience and grace and love to their caretakers. And Lord, give peace to their loved ones as well. God, we ask that you're with them, that you never leave them, and you heal them in whatever way you deem fit. And Lord, we pray for those in our world who are struggling with conflict, especially those in Israel and Palestine. Lord, be with them. Lord, help us find a way to make peace. Help us find a way that justice may be all over the face of the earth. And Lord, help us care for one another and see the humanity in each other, even in the midst of conflict. Lord, may your love and your grace reign in our hearts as we try and find a way through the struggles and the hardships of life. And God, we pray for all of those things that are quiet on our hearts and in our souls. Lord, hear them. Bend close to the earth that you might know what our needs are. Lord, hear them and help us. Whatever we may need in these moments, Lord, help us. God, we ask that you continue to be with us, that you continue to show us your grace, your love, that you continue to guide us through our lives, that your light shines through us, that we might be beacons of your love to all who we meet. Through Christ our Lord, all the people said, Amen. And so with the confidence of the children of God, we invite you to pray with us the prayer that Christ has taught us, saying, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen and amen. At this time, if there's any kids in the house, come on up.
Good morning, everybody. All right, so adults, you're not going to be able to see this, but I'm going to videotape it and then put it on the Facebook page. Okay? Sound good? So you guys can see it too. So friends, we did the same experiment in Sunday school these past couple of times, but it didn't work for one of the classes, so we're going to do it again. So what did we learn about words? They can be powerful. Anything else? So if someone says something mean to you, good job. So if you say something mean, then people are, so if someone's mean to you, you're going to act grumpy, right? And then your grumpiness is going to spread to whoever you're grumpy towards, right? But if someone's nice to you, then that makes you happy. And then your happiness is going to spread to other people, right? All right, so Ms. Jolie's going to help me by pouring the milk in here. So we're going to say that the milk, oh wait, I got to give you a phone. That's right. Our cameraman is going to be David. Everyone wish him luck. There you go. And then you can just do that. There you are. All right, so Jolie's going to put the milk in. That's perfect. You got the soap? All right, so we need some food coloring. So the milk is going to represent our friends, right? Mm-hmm. All right. And then Ms. Jolie, can everyone see? If you guys need to come around, you can. All right, so she's going to take out the food coloring, and she's going to carefully drop some in here. So these are going to represent the words, right? Come stand on over here, bud. That's perfect. All right. So there's some words in there. And then Jolie's going to put some soap onto a Q-tip. Garrett, they're right here. Have Jolie help you out. There you go. Now tip it upside down. Oop. It's already getting a little mixed up, isn't it? That's okay. That's okay. Here, have Jolie help you. Have Jolie help you, honey. And then you can do it, but have Jolie help you. There you go. That's perfect. All right. Oop, careful, bud. Alrighty. So, if you say some mean words, go ahead and put it into the food coloring, and watch how it moves. See how it's spreading a little bit around where the soap went? There you go. See how it's all starting to spread around? Oh, that was a good one. All right, so let's get another color. And I'm going to put this down so then it holds it better. How about that? So everyone back up a little bit. No one touch it. There we go. All right. So we're going to put some green in there. So these are our nice words, right? All right. You ready, Garrett? Just put some more soap on it. There we go. There you go. That's perfect, bud. All right, now go ahead and drop that in there. Oh, we might need some more. Oh, there it goes. See how the green is starting to move a little bit? Mm-hmm. There it goes. Now it's going. All right, so you guys see how words spread? That's pretty cool, isn't it? All right. Should we pray? All right. All right, everyone, let's pray. Hey, God. Thank you so much for reminding us to use kind words to spread your love. Amen.
Well, that sounded interesting what they did, but I'm not sure what it was. So we'll have to go online to see what that was all about. Today's scripture comes from 2 Corinthians chapter 8, verses 1 through 7. And the heading I noticed in reviewing in the Bible is considered generous giving. We want you to know, brothers and sisters, about the grace of God that has been granted to the churches of Macedonia. For during a severe ordeal of affliction, their abundant joy and their extensive poverty have overflowed in the wealth of the generosity on their part. For as I testify, they voluntarily gave according to the means and even beyond the means, begging us earnestly for the favor of partnering in the ministry to the saints, and not as we expected. Instead, they gave themselves first to the Lord, and by the will of God to us, so that we might urge Titus that, as he had already made a beginning, so he should also complete the generous undertaking among you. Now, as you excel in everything, in faith, in speech, in knowledge, in utmost eagerness, and in your love for you. So we want you to excel also in this generous undertaking. At this point, then, we'll have the offering.
Friends, this is a moment where we remember that God is good, that even in the uncertainty of life, that we have been blessed and will continue to be blessed, and that God will never forsake us or leave us, that God will be with us. So for those of you who help partner in ministry with us, thank you, because generosity is followed by gratitude, or maybe preceded by gratitude, or maybe they're so intertwined that you can't separate them. But for those who partner with us, for those who share their time, their talents, their treasures, their whole beings in ministering not only to our congregation but to our community, thank you. I hope you hear that, and I hope you never forget how grateful we are for how you help. We're passing the plates along for those who give monetarily by check or loose cash. Thank you for that as well, and thank you for those who give via EFT. But friends, in all things, may we remember that God is good, that all will be well, that God will never leave us, and God has blessed us immeasurably. Almighty God, bless these gifts and offerings that we have given. Lord, whether they be our resources, our money, our time, our prayers, our energy, our skills. Lord, bless the ways that we have given back to you what you first gave to us. God, may they be used for the blessing of our congregation and our community and our world. Lord, may you work through them to create what is more visible, the kingdom of God here on this earth. Through Christ our Lord, we give you thanks. And all the people said, amen. Friends, continue standing as you are comfortable and join us in our next hymn, How Great Thou Art. You can find it on page 77 of your thick blueback hymnal or up on the screens. We'll sing verses 1-4.
Thank you.
Amen. You may be seated. Our gospel reading today comes from the book of Mark, chapter 2, verses 1 through 12. This is the gospel, according to Mark. When Jesus returned to Capernaum after some days, it was reported that he was at home. So many gathered around that there were no longer room for any of them, not even in front of the door. And as Jesus was speaking the word to them, then some people came bringing to him a paralyzed man carried by four of them. And when they could not bring him to Jesus because of the crowd, they removed the roof above him. And after having dug through it, they let down the mat on which the paralytic lay. When Jesus saw their faith, he said to the paralytic, "Child, your sins are forgiven." Now, some of the scribes were sitting there, questioning in their hearts, "Why does this fellow speak in this way? It's blasphemy. Who can forgive sins but God alone?" And at once, Jesus perceived in his spirit that they were discussing these questions among themselves. And he said to them, "Why do you raise such questions in your heart? Which is easier, to say to the paralytic, 'Your sins are forgiven,' or to say, 'Stand up and take your mat and walk?' But so that you may know that the Son of Man has authority on earth to forgive sins," he turned and said to the paralytic, "I say to you, stand up, take your mat, and go to your home." And the man stood up and immediately took the mat and went before all of them, so that they were all amazed and glorified God, saying, "We have never seen anything like this." The good news of Jesus Christ. And all the people said, Amen. Amen. So we've been talking about what our church holds as important. You may have heard the term missional priorities, and you may be absolutely sick of that term by now. Hallelujah? I know, right? And yet, what this church does find important is a couple of things: making disciples and growing leaders, caring for our young families and our children, engaging in mission beyond just giving, caring for each other through care teams and through reconnecting with each other. And of course, now that I'm up here, I'm going to forget the fifth one. If anyone wants to help me out. We talked about it last Sunday, didn't we? Yeah, I know. Friends, can I have some grace? Thank you. Needless to say, today we are talking about what it means to care for one another, what it means to reconnect and to connect with the church, with each other, and with God. How many of you have used a video conferencing platform in the last several days? If you don't know what I'm talking about, that's something like Zoom, or if you're old school, Skype, or maybe even Facebook, or Google Hangouts, or any number of them. How many of you have used video conferencing in the last several days? How many of you love having a video call? Some hands are still going up. I know my parents love seeing their grandchildren on a video call. But what I want to discuss today, or at least what I want to ponder on today as we start to dive in, what it means to care for each other. I have a group of Christian men and women and siblings in Christ that I pray with nearly every day. Some days I fall off the horse and I have to jump back on again, but I pray with them nearly every day. They're a monastic community up in Minnesota, at least that's where they're centered, but we're actually spread out all across the United States in all four different time zones, which means that finding a time to pray is always a little bit interesting. We've gotten to the point now where they're scheduled and we have our own liturgy and we pray the Psalms and we go back and forth on the different stanzas and the different paragraphs on the Psalms, and we have things that we try and say in unison, and we have prayers and scripture and time for silence and meditation. But what's been fascinating to me with this group, we started before the pandemic, and they started much before I joined, but it used to be over phones. And what's fascinating about phones is the
lag time between when someone says something and the time it reaches everyone else is incredibly small. But as soon as you get online, for some reason, we can't squeeze enough data through the wires, and when someone says something on a video call, what happens? It takes maybe half a second to get to where it needs to go. Now, some of you might say, what does this have to do with church? What does this have to do with Christ? What does this have to do with anything at all? Friends, when we say the Lord's Prayer in this church, how do we do it? I say, now those who have been redeemed by Christ join in the Lord's Prayer. And I lift my hands and we say, Our Father who art in heaven. And we do it at the same time, don't we? And it's incredible and it's beautiful and it's something that the church is blessed with, whether we realize it or not. That is nearly impossible to do simultaneously. That is nearly impossible to do simultaneously online, because as soon as I say, Our Father, it takes a couple seconds to get across the internet to the other side, and then all of a sudden what happens? I say, Our Father, and then half a second later, everyone else says, Our Father. And then I say, Who art in heaven, and half a second, everyone else says, Who art in heaven. And it's just an absolute mess. It's cacophony. And added on to that, not only this inability to see A in unison, all of a sudden people don't know when to start. People don't know who's leading. People hesitate a little bit. And what once was in unison is no longer. And there's some theology about being in unison. There's something holy about saying the words, the same words, at the same time with each other and affirming as a group and a community. But there's something interesting that I've learned throughout this exercise as well. Because the easy thing to do would be just to mute myself and let them say it and say it at home without my voice joining in. But over time, what I've found with this group is that attempting to say things in unison over the internet has helped me listen better and anticipate each other. It's helped me realize that even when we speak in unison here, it's not actually completely in unison at all, is it? That some of us start a little bit before and end a little bit early, and some of us have to catch up, or some of us have to slow down, and that, in fact, what I've realized through this practice is that it takes a long time, for a group of people to really know and understand and see each other. For those of you who have spouses or children, or for those of you who are kids, how long did it take for you to understand your spouse or your parent or your grandparent or your children? Was it instantaneous? No. How long did it take? Still working on it. Hallelujah. Anyone else? There are still things that I realize that the classic example in my family is my dad and I, we wouldn't call it arguing. We just call it, I don't know, really engaged discussion. You know the type I'm talking about, right? Voices don't necessarily raise, but man, there's passion in the words that we speak. And you know, one of the classic examples in my family is that my dad and I will have this hour-long discussion that's impassioned, that's a little bit louder than it typically is. And by the end of it, do you know what we realize? We're saying the same thing. We're saying the exact same thing. And it just took us that long to realize it. Maybe you've had that experience before. See, I think this is at the heart of what it means to care for each other. And you might not see it like that, but at the heart of caring for each other is listening to one another and speaking with each other and taking time to be in each other's lives. We saw it here in the gospel. We saw it with Jesus at home in Capernaum. So many people in his house that the fire marshal was probably going to come in and shut the party down. And a group of four, had someone who was paralyzed. and they knew that Jesus could heal him. So they got their friend on a stretcher. They carried him to the house. They realized they couldn't get through. Now, I don't know how Jesus felt about people digging through his roof and creating a hole. Anyone who's been on a roof and done any of that work before, you're probably pulling your hair out because it's not the most enjoyable work in the world. But they dig a hole through the roof and lower the man via rope down so that Jesus might heal him. This is an image of the community of Christ. This is an image of the kingdom of God. Of course, Jesus goes on to talk about power and authority and sins and health. But there's a sub-story here. There's the story about what it means to care for each other, what it takes to make sure that the body of Christ knows that it's loved, knows that it's supported, knows that it's affirmed. And the four friends there went through all of those lengths. Now, I'm not saying, please, do not carve a hole out of the roof of this church. Amen? Your trustees will quit. I don't want them to quit. Amen? Amen. Thank you. But the question for us is, what does that look like here today? What are the lengths that we are called to go for to take care of not only the people in our congregation, in our church, not only the people in our community, but the people of our world? What lengths are we to go to so that all people know they are loved by God, all people know that they are cared for by Christ, and all people know that they are welcome here and in the larger family? For us, here at this church, one of the things that we have started and are continuing to learn how to do better is we have a group of people that call. It's such a simple thing, isn't it? We have a group of people that call others just to check in and see how you're doing. We've got about 12 so far that have committed to this. And of course, we can always use more. But what we've found over that time where we've called each other, not to ask for money, not to ask for you to be on a committee, not to ask for you to give something more than you feel like you can give, simply to give back, to check in, say, hey, we're praying for you, or hey, how's it going, or hey, did you know God loves you and so does this church? And that's it. And what we found is that there are people who were surprised by that. There were people who were just, their minds were blown that all we wanted to do was care. That's it. That's what Christ has called us to do. And on some levels, my heart hurts and grieves because of that. Because shouldn't this be a place where that is one of the primary focuses? God has loved us, so we love each other. End of story. Full stop. To be able to see some of those bridges being built, to be able to see some of those seeds being planted, to see the love shared in real time, and gratitude well up in people's hearts was beautiful. Friends, that's one way that we are learning how to care better for each other. Because I think we all know, I think Jesus says it, he didn't come to heal the healthy, he came to heal the sick. The church is a place where we practice being more fully the people of God. Another way that we're trying to connect with each other and reconnect with each other, you know, it's the same way with the story that I shared with my prayer group that's dispersed, that meets online. Times are different, aren't they? Amen? Amen. And the ways that we meet and connect and gather have shifted significantly. And this was happening way before the pandemic. It's just the dams have broken open now, and we as a people, as a society, are trying to figure out how are we still a community. If I've learned anything about this prayer group that I'm a part of, it's that even though we only see each other and gather in one physical room once a year, we are still community. We are still meeting daily for prayer, monthly for study and for growth. that we are able to reach out to each other through text, through email, through what have you. But there's something interesting also, and I think it needs to be named as well. There's something interesting also that takes a lot of work to be connected. We know that in our own relationships. How many of you have had friends long ago that you just drifted apart? Anyone been there? It's probably pretty painful for those of us who are young and experiencing for that for the first time. I hope it gets less painful as I get older. If anyone has wisdom for me, let me know whether I'm setting myself up for disappointment or not. But we know that even in real life, or real, right? Even in gathered life, that it takes a lot of effort to build a relationship and to sustain a relationship. But I think one thing that we have been feeling for the last few years that maybe we haven't named yet, we like to be together. Amen? It is good to be gathered. Amen? Amen. It is good to see each other's faces, to hear each other's voices, to connect over a cup of coffee. It is good to be together. And it's not necessarily just because we don't like to use technology. I mean, we do here. It's not necessarily that technology is frustrating. It's just that we care about each other that much. And it is joyous to be reunited. You have an entire tech team who thinks on this and who throws this around in their mind to figure out how can we best connect with each other, knowing full well that people travel now, that we have people who are shut in, who we have people who need to go visit children, that emergencies come up. This is just life. But that central question, I think, gets back to how do we see each other face to face, even online? How do we see each other face to face, even knowing that sometimes we travel? See, these are the questions, I think. I don't have many answers for you today other than at the very core of all of this is love. At the very core of all of this is a willingness and a commitment to care for each other. But I think that's what Christ is trying to teach us. That at the end of the day, maybe I'm speaking out of turn now, but at the end of the day, that is what is attractive about church for many people. Or that is one component of it anyway. This is my hope. This is my prayer. This is, I think, what we are continuing to work on. Not that we're bad at it, just that I think Christ calls us to something higher and greater. And it's this: how can we form a community where everyone who walks through that door or everyone who greets us on the street knows that they are loved, knows that they are welcomed, and knows that Christ and God love them as well? See, we talk about creating leaders. We talk about caring for our young families and our children. We talk about worshiping well. That was the other one. Hallelujah, friends. We talk about what it takes to worship well. We talk about what it means to care for each other and to engage fully in missions. And I think at the end of the day, caring for each other takes a commitment. Takes a commitment and love in our hearts to listen and to pay attention. And friends, we're doing that by these calls that we will be making regularly. We do that by trying to connect online. We do that by looking for ways to create small groups so that we can stay connected. But friends, this is my hope. This is my prayer. As we wrestle with these things and how to be a stronger, more loving community, is what's the next step? How do we continue to grow the love in our hearts so that all people may know that they're loved by God, by this church, and by us? May we reflect on that. May we reflect on that, and may we have ears to hear from those who speak. But what I do know is God walks with us, and God calls us onward, and that we continue to make steps and make strides, and that we're not all as far off as we think we are. God loves you. 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 And so does this church. Amen. Amen. Friends, would you pray with me? Almighty God, we give you thanks. We give you thanks that you have blessed us. We give you thanks that you continue to walk with us. We give you thanks that you help us raise our voices to praise you, to affirm one another, to share your love with each other. Lord, may it be that we learn how to listen. May it be that we learn how to pay attention. Lord, may we not get down on ourselves. May we not beat ourselves up. May we be gracious as you are gracious. May we continue to remember what it means to be your people. Lord, may we see the ways that we do care. And may we commit to caring deeper and more fully every day, so that your love and your light and your grace shines through us. God, help us and teach us. Our trust is in you. Through Christ our Lord, we pray. Amen.
So friends, we invite you to join us as you are comfortable, standing as you are comfortable, and join us in our closing hymn, My Hope is Built, which can be found on 368 of your thick blueback hymnals, or up on the screens. We'll sing verses 1 and 2. So friends, as we bless you on our way, I'm going to ask that you do something that you've done many times before, but let it be known that you will be blessing each other. May God bless you. May God keep you. May God fill your hearts with love and care for each other, for yourselves, for the body of Christ, for all of creation. And friends, as you go and as you take this day to rest, enjoy your Sabbath, I invite you to turn to each other and bless each other by saying, God loves you, and so do I. I promise you won't get struck by lightning or burst into flames. You won't drop dead, I hope, I pray. But it's important. Turn to one another and say, God loves you, and so do I. For those online and on the radio, God loves you, and so do I. Go with God, and God will go with you. And now our service is ended.